Okay, so let's turn with me. Well, you don't need to turn because I'm going to read them very quickly. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. What I want to focus in on there is be prepared in season and out of season. So even if you came this morning and you're not ready to go and witness on the streets, be prepared because God is with you and for you. Okay, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. You see, there's a very significant difference between those who are born again, have encountered the living God, and those who haven't had that. And the big difference is hope. The nature of the hope they have. So for those who are not born again, the nature of the hope is very temporal. Or it's related to family. Or it's related to the past. Or it's related to finding my place in my community and my belonging. That's where my hope lies. And more often than not, that hope is dashed in the course of life, because that's what life does to us. But the difference that we as Christians have is that we have an eternal hope. We one day will be participating eternally in heaven with in the very divine love and life of the triune God. That is assured for us. We have an eternal hope. And that hope is something that we can share with others. Many who are hopeless can come to hope because they encounter us. Because we are the ones who are carriers of an eternal hope that the world around us needs. And so then there's this scripture about this rich man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to please God, to be perfect? And Jesus eventually says to him, because he says, I've kept all the commandments. And then Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And there you see a very clear example of someone whose hope was not in God, but his hope was in his great wealth, in the things that brought him comforts and things that brought him satisfaction temporarily. But he had no eternal hope. He wanted to serve the idol of his comfort, but also have something of God. And you can't have both. You can't serve both God and money, as the Bible says. And then Ephesians 4:11-16. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so those scriptures we have read this morning really come to us and challenge us about what are we living for? What are we up to? What are the things? What are we ready for in life? And it's a question we all have to ask ourselves is, where do I fit in the church and the kingdom? Where do I fit in life? So often people feel, and I have felt myself, and I've struggled with this struggle myself for decades, is where do I fit? Why, you know, somehow, maybe if I was just a cell group leader, then things will be sorted out. Then I have some sort of official position in the church, and then I'll feel like I belong. And then when you become a cell group leader, you don't quite feel that. So then maybe I need to become a deacon, and maybe that's when I'll feel like I belong. Or maybe I need to be an elder. And when you get there, then you discover, no, that's also not the answer to making me feel like I really fit in the church. And so some of us just clock out. Some of us say, okay, I can never really find my place in the church because that belongs to the official ministers and somehow the people who are paid. They're the guys who really are in and we're out. We're on the outside. So let me just sit on the back bench and let me kind of look in. I'll come to Sunday services. I'll kind of engage from afar. I'll give my money towards it. And then they can do the stuff. And so if we have that perspective, we miss out on so much of what God has called us to as a people of God. Because actually every one of us is called to be participating in an invasion force. The church and the kingdom is an invasion force. We are invading the world as it is, and we're bringing transformation of the life of heaven into the here and now. That's what all of us are called to equally, and we have different roles in that. And so some of us might be saying, actually, look, my belonging is just, look, in my family and in greeting everyone and making my extended family happy with me, and then I'll you know, that's living a good life. Others of us, and that's particularly if you come from a rural area, that's what you feel. And if you come from an urban area, you feel that if I can make a lot of money and become financially independent, that will satisfy me in life. And you discover both of those don't satisfy you. Both of those are false ideologies. Both of those are idols that don't satisfy you. Maybe even you're a church minister and you find that actually I'm paid by the church, but I'm finding myself running around trying to perform so I can merit the salary that everyone pays me so sacrificially. And again, you feel like you're not really there. So the Bible speaks about actually God's given gifts, and those gifts are to empower us and get us working in the work of the ministries. And those are the Ephesians 4 gifts. The gifts of the pastor, the apostle, the evangelist, the teacher, and the prophet. And those gifts are meant to empower us as the people to do the work of the ministry. They're not meant to be us empowering them to do their stuff. Do you see that? That's what the Bible says very clearly. And so all of us have work to do. And really, I have 3 points this morning. The first is, what are the works of service that God has called us to? Secondly, what are the things that get in the way of that calling? The things that trip us up and make us not get in on what God is wanting us to get in on. And finally, thirdly, how does God's call on my life personally relate to the call on the local church I'm a part of, His call on the family of churches we belong to, His call on the global church and the advance of the kingdom throughout the world? So are those good questions to ask? Have you asked those yourselves? Where do I actually fit? Okay, first thing to note, just a quick note. What is the difference between the church and the kingdom? Can anyone help me? John says nothing. What is the difference between the church and the kingdom? Paul? Church is here, kingdom is in heaven. Anyone else? Okay, church is here, kingdom's the church, the Christians all over. Okay? There you go. Also, really good point. The church is us, the people of God. The kingdom is the rule of God. So let's think about a kingdom. A kingdom is an area where a king rules, isn't it? And so often that can have a time and a place, like the kingdom of David had a certain time, but it also had a certain geography. But a kingdom is the rule of God. And often that rule is breaking in to take territory in people's hearts. And the territory, as we know, this is the spiritual kingdom, it's the hearts in people's hearts. That's where it's advancing into all the world. So the church is us. When you are born again, you're part of the church. But we are called, we're like the army advancing the kingdom, advancing the rule of God into every area of life. Fantastic. Okay. So, what are the works of service that God has called us to? And we've looked at that in Ephesians. We're not saved by works. So it's not your hard work that saves you. You were saved by grace, chosen not because you deserved it, but simply because God chose you. God saved you simply by grace. But we are also saved for works. And that's what that scripture says in Ephesians 2, 8, verse 2, 10. Everyone has a purpose and a place. That's what the Bible says. The problem is, as Mark Green says, anyone would think that the mission of the modern church is to recruit the people of God to use some of their leisure time to join the missionary initiatives of church paid workers. So that's mostly what we think. That actually, let's go on mission together. You know, let me use some of my leisure time, then I can actually participate in this thing. Otherwise, my time is my time, my family, my business, my whatever. But actually, the vision is to release up some of that so that I can give a bit towards something else. That's what people would think the mission of the church is. But the truth is, Jesus Christ is Lord of all reality. So when you're at home, in your family, your extended family, you're going to weddings, you're going to funerals, Jesus Christ is Lord of that area. When you're in your business and you're encountering, you're dealing with invoicing and you're dealing with suppliers and customers, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And when you are in your school and with your teachers and with fellow students, and Jesus Christ is Lord there too. He's in command. He's over all. You're His agent to bring about His perspective and what He wants to accomplish in that place. You're the agent. You're like the ambassador. You're representing the kingdom of God. And others are enslaved by the kingdom of darkness, and we're to bring the light to them. That's what we're all called to. And all of us are at war because of that. All of us are involved in a great end time battle. That's what we're about, to bring the kingdom of God to every person, every part of reality. So I'm sure you've heard this thing about D-Day. D-Day was the changing battle of Second World War. Second World War was won at D-Day. It's when the Allies came and stormed the beaches of Normandy in France, and they beat Hitler's army right there, and then it was like 3/4 of a year before the war actually in Europe ended with V-Day, Victory Day. But 8 months. 8 months before they actually finally did it. So we are like that. We've had our D-Day. What was our D-Day? Calvary. The life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. He won the war. There's no doubt about who's winning this thing. We're on the winning side. But there's mopping up operations. We've got to get to Berlin. We've got to defeat Hitler. We are defeating Satan. We are advancing the kingdom through people's lives, in their hearts, in our neighborhood, in the nations. That's what we're doing. That's what all of us are called to, every one of us. So we're not just civilians, we're soldiers. And the Bible says, treat yourselves as soldiers. Don't get caught up in civilian affairs. Don't get caught up in sin, because sin takes you out as a soldier. You don't want to forget that you're a soldier. You want to be on this mission every day together. And I've told you a story of that before, where on D-Day, when troops were dropped behind enemy lines ahead of D-Day, paratroopers were dropped behind enemy lines, and some guys crept up on a farmhouse deep in France, and they heard this great hilarity, people singing and whatever, and they burst through the doors, and there were a whole lot of American paratroopers drunk as anything, because they'd discovered a cellar of red wine in the old farmhouse. Now, during the greatest battle of modern history, these guys forgot what they were about. Forgot they were soldiers at war. They had a mission to do. And we can be like that. We can forget. So we mustn't forget that we're on mission together. And we advance on two fronts. One is regions beyond. We plant churches into other areas. So P-Ware is helping plant a church in Allen, which hasn't got a church there. In January, we're probably going down to the Eastern Cape to help plant a church in a place called Willowvale, which is a tiny little community near Aidutchwa. I'm sure you've heard of those places, Aidutchwa, because it's on the N2. But Willowvale, you probably haven't heard of, but people need God there. So we're going to go regions beyond. We're planting churches into other regions. Paul and Shannon are involved in many other churches from Harding, and we wanting to be a base that plants churches also, we want to be salt and light. So either you're planting churches in new communities or you're salt and light where you are. So wherever you are, your neighborhood, your neighbors, your school community, this community around us in Pelham, we are salt and light. We are the fragrance of Christ. When people start doing stupid things like being racist, we stand up and say, no, we're not like that. Actually, God's called all of us. He loves all of us. He wants the people from every tribe and language and nation. And that's a wonderful thing that God created this amazing diversity. And so we want to celebrate it. We don't want to be hateful towards one another. That's salt and light. Right here in our community, we preserve society because of it. And so my dad is one of my heroes because I see in him the ability to live this out in an amazing way. So he's always been a doctor, and he's been really involved in rural medicine. He actually gave up professorship at the largest teaching hospital in the Southern Hemisphere in order to be among the rural poor for 40 years to serve them. And I remember going once, I was a journalist and I was in rural Zululand up near Nongoma, and I met a doctor, and she heard that I was John Larson's son, and she said, oh, John Larson, he's our guru. And I was like, wow. I didn't even know this about my dad, but he had written the textbook for rural obstetrics and gynecology, helped save thousands of people's lives because of it. And so you see, he's involved in not just in his career, he's involved in bringing the kingdom of God to bear upon the lives of rural poor women who need safe, brought safely through childbirth. You see that. And yet he was also involved in the church, and he often used to preach and so on. George Whitfield was an amazing guy. He was very much part of the transformation of the UK at a time when there was great darkness there. And George Whitfield once, he had gone out and as a student at Oxford, he had bought a whole lot of paintings, which were very expensive. And he bought these two paintings, and he'd been desiring to buy these paintings for ages, and he bought them and he put them up in his chambers at Oxford University. And the chambermaid came in, and it was a cold winter's day, and she only had a very thin shirt on, and she was shivering and cold, and she didn't have anything else to make her warm. And he realized what he had done, where he had put his treasure. And he went and sold the paintings. And from that day forward, he decided to actually draw his boundaries about what he earns and to give the rest away. He became one of the wealthiest men in Britain, but for all his years, he lived a simple life and gave the rest away. Why? Because he had seen something. He'd seen a heavenly treasure. He'd seen something that could drive him and change him and give him reason for living. He could make those sacrifices because he wasn't living for a temporal reality. He was living for an earthly, a heavenly kingdom. And likewise, Martin Luther was the same. Martin Luther saw the kingdom of God, and he gave himself to the kingdom of God. And he said that a man should earn as much as he can, earn as much as he can, save as much as he can, give away all that he can, and I can't remember the rest. But it was something like that. There was so. And he had this amazing ability to see what is really important in life, which so many of us don't, because we watch television and we hear the news and we listen to friends, and everything about what we do tells us actually we need to live for the here and now, but actually Jesus wants us to live for eternal things and get eternal rewards. So secondly, what are the things that get in the way that cause me to miss my calling? Well, if you're from a rural background, often it's the grip of family. It's having to support a very wide distribution of family members, many of whom just want you to support them. And quite often, many are sitting there drinking their lives away. And so you feel that you have to sow in and sow in and sow in time, energy, money into this thing to support these people so that you can have standing in your community and you miss out on the call of God and the action of God and what God's calling you to. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to support your family. Absolutely he does. But there's a degree to which it can become an idol. Likewise, if you are from a urban background, there's the allure of financial independence. That I've got to earn now a whole lot of money to save a whole lot of money so that by the time I retire, I don't owe anyone anything. And I can actually live my life in leisure. And I just want us to just very quickly see what John Piper thinks of this. So that's what we want to do. We want to treasure Christ and what he's about and his kingdom above all else. Above our pleasure, above our comfort, we want to do that. I hope you heard that. It's pretty hard hitting. Likewise, if you're a church worker, you can be feeling that actually one of the things that will make you miss out is when you feel that actually everyone else is there to support the church programs and to support my salary. You're going to cause lots of people to miss out on their call if that's the vision. That's not what the vision is. The vision is that all of us will be involved in advancing the kingdom. And so finally, how does God's call on my life personally relate to his call on the local church that I'm a part of, his call on the family of churches we belong to, his call on the global church and advance of his kingdom throughout the world? And I've got 5 minutes left. So how does the kingdom, how does the advance of the kingdom relate to me personally, in my family as well, my church, the movement of churches and globally? How does it relate? Well, actually, it's really helpful to think of ourselves as an invading force. And I've mentioned D-Day already. And Operation Overlord had 3 million men prepared to take hold of Europe. And many of you have heard this before. I'm going to say it again because it's very helpful to us to think about what are we about? Why are we here? Why did God leave us here? So there were 3 million men prepared to invade Europe. And they had a number of things, a number of elements in place. They had a vision that they, as one American soldier said, we want to get there, defeat Hitler, and get the hell back home. That's what we want to do, because they were all clear on it. We want to defeat Hitler. So likewise, you and I can be clear on the vision of what God has called us to. They were trained for 2 years. They were trained constantly for this invasion. Then they had operational pillars. You can imagine the logistics of getting 3 million men from the island of UK across the channel into and then creating beachheads and then getting an invasion. You can imagine all the supply lines, the food for 3 million men, the tanks getting across the channel, all of that. So that's operational pillars they had in place. They also had a theater they were operating in. The Second World War is operating in a number of theaters. North Africa, the Eastern Front with Russia, in the Pacific, but this was Western Europe. And they were operating particularly in the theater of Western Europe. They also had areas of operation. And those areas had, for instance, they might have to, if they were with a battalion, that had to take Utah Beach. Or they were maybe dropped behind enemy lines the night before. Those were things that different guys had to do. They had an area of operation. They also had objectives to accomplish within those areas. Take out that gun. Or blow that bridge up so that enemy tanks can't come through. Or get rid of the barrier fences that had been put along the beach by the German. Those are objectives they had to do, and they had actions to accomplish those objectives. They had to lay the charges if you're going to blow the bridge. So you got to get there, you got to paratroop in, you got to go and lay the charges, push the button, boom, it goes up. So they had actions to do, and then they had units, and those units changed in size according to what they're doing. It could be a whole division taking a beach, or it could be just a couple of guys blowing up some telephone poles. So it could be any size. And that was their invasion force. So these were the elements of an invasion plan. Vision, training, operational pillars, theater, areas, objectives, actions, and units. And so the vision asks the why question, the training, the operational pillars answer the how, theaters and areas where we're going to be, objectives and actions, what and when, and units, who's going to do it. And so we can actually apply that to ourselves personally. If I think about this myself in my own life, let me think about what's my vision. Well, God's given me a couple of visions in life. One is to be a voice to Africa and from Africa to the world. My business is part of that. But God's also used me in the church as a prophetic voice in the church. I'm also part of an Ephesians 4 team in regions beyond, helping to strengthen churches and plant churches in other parts of this region in Africa. And my heart has always been for Africa. So God's given me clear vision over the years because He's planted words from the Lord in my heart. He's given me training in many ways, but mostly in the church, but also I went to Regent College and I trained there, but most of it has been hands-on in the church. Operational pillars, I am part of bringing operational pillars, training others, getting others going. I'm part of that in life. I have a theater that I operate in, mainly here in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape. The specific areas that I'm involved in are here in this church and the areas that this church is involved in. But in terms of my business, it's all over Southern Africa, mainly. And then objectives, I have certain objectives that I see that I need to accomplish, whether it's in the business or whether it's in the church and my involvement in the church and so on. And then the actions, and of course, my unit is mainly my family. So mainly we do stuff together, particularly Roseanne and I. She's involved in the business also as well. So I'm sure you can apply that to yourselves. But let's think about Grace Jen, and I'm finishing with this because I've got 1 minute left to do. Okay, Grace Jen, what is our vision? What is the thing God's called us to? Well, what is it that God's most passionate about? Well, He's most passionate about building a family from every tribe and language and nation under heaven to be His for all eternity. So we can get in on that. That's our vision as the church, and we're modeling it as well, which is really wonderful. What can we be best in the world at? We can be best in the world at doing that here in Pelham and in the surrounding areas. That's what we can do, and which is wonderful. And we have training. We have plenty of training opportunities. These are them. Many of them, you have been on them. iGen, parenting course, joining course, cell leaders training. There are plenty of opportunities to get equipped in order to do this. And many of you have taken those opportunities or are taking those opportunities. We have operational pillars too. Sunday service is one of those to get us equipped and empowered so that we can live the week fully for His grace and His glory. Gen 2, family nights, eldership, kingdom kids, all of those are operational pillars primarily. Some of them are training as well. And then we also have a theater to operate in, and that's mainly southeastern or the eastern part of South Africa primarily. We kind of spread out from Newcastle all the way down to, you know, Madueleni, the kind of churches that we've been in. Some of us the year before last went and did church planting outreach in a township outside Port St. John's. Or, you know, so that's kind of our area: Newcastle, Port St. John's, Harding, Mthatha, and then we have a very specific areas that this church particularly is involved in, and that's really Oribe, Pelham, students. And those infected and affected by HIV primarily through our amazing agency of CCP. Okay. And then we have objectives within those: to reach a new generation of students, to father the fatherless, to establish a parish in Pelham. Those are what of our objectives. our actions towards those objectives. You've heard of these things before, haven't you? We did Spring Braai not so long ago. We've done iGen and outreaches relating to iGen. Today, though, Community Care Project goes on all the time. They're in church, in schools every week. They're outreach. They're our biggest outreach, really, Community Care Project. Why I've highlighted these three things, though, healing on the streets, prayer walking, and treasure hunting, is we have the opportunity to do that today. And we're going to go now. And we're going to go and do those things. And you can choose. If you're wanting to be part of prayer walking, we're all going to go down to, and you're not forced to do this. You do it if you want to do it. It's like giving. You give, God loves a hilarious giver, not those who feel forced to give. So, but for the rest of us, we'd like to go. Maybe you just feel you want to pray, or maybe you're a visitor here and you feel, oh, this is a bit too much for me. Actually, I'll go and have tea in the hall. Tea is there in the hall for you. It's wonderful. You can participate in that. But if you feel that you want to go and do something because you've been sitting on a pew for years on end and it's actually killing you to take in so much and not give out so little, and you want to give, this is a great opportunity. So, we want to go on the streets. There are a couple of opportunities. One is we're going to put out a whole lot of chairs outside the mall, Scottsville Mall, and we're going to invite people to come and be prayed for. Prayed for healing, prayed for issues in their lives. Pray. It's amazing what happens. We did this a couple of weeks ago, and it was so exciting to see what one guy. He arrived with crutches and he left with the crutches in the shopping trolley. So it's amazing what God can do. God can use you in that. Others, you might want to go treasure hunting, where God gives you a treasure map. He tells you who you're looking for. You listen to him, you write it down, and then you go with your treasure map and you look for the person. And it's amazing what God does and how when you show the people their treasure map, how bowled over they feel that God is, he knows their story, he knows what they're about, and he's out to get them. It's amazing. So some of us can do that. Others can do prayer walking around the area. And if you want to do that, if you want to intercede while others are acting and you want to pray that God would bring many, many people through into his kingdom, we're not going out there just to grow Grace Gen. Let me say that. Grace Gen, the growth of Grace Gen is a byproduct of advancing the kingdom. We're out there to bring the kingdom of God to bear upon the lives of people who are lost and desperate and without help or hope in the world. And there are thousands of them. Thousands who need the grace of God in their lives today. So let's pray together. And then I'd like to encourage those who want to be part of healing on the streets to come here, and I'm going to speak to you. Those who want to be treasure hunting, Roseanne is going to speak to you here, and she's going to lead you in helping you to get your treasure map. And those who wanted to be part of prayer walking, I ask you to gather at the back there in the foyer, and to gather together. And those who would like to go to tea is on in the hall. So let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of being those who are filled with so much of you, so much grace, so much favor, so many giftings, that you've stuffed us full with everything that the world needs out there. And I pray, God, that many of us will be able to release that into the lives of many there today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Let's do it.